People say they want a life filled with every good and beautiful thing, and then they're afraid that that is not the spiritual path. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosophy. The spiritual path. What is the spiritual path? The spiritual path is a lot of garbage. Because all that you know or anybody else knows about the spiritual path is that it's doing without things. You're doing without cigarettes, you're doing without coffee, you're doing without sex, you're doing without all those interesting things, you know. And if that's the spiritual path, certainly it is not a very desirable path, and people will not be successful going on that path. When the spiritual path is enjoying every single thing you do with all your heart and soul and being not wanting it or needing it, but just enjoying it. Do you enjoy every breath of air that you breathe? And you say, oh, yes, yes, a bull roar. If you enjoyed every breath that you breathe, you wouldn't be worrying about any carbon monoxide. You wouldn't be worrying about the diesel fumes. You wouldn't be worried about the methyl, the gas that comes out of cows. You know, you wouldn't be worried about anything. You see, if you believe that you only breathe beautiful, you don't say only, that you breathe beautiful, good air, fantastic air, glorious air, there is no other kind of air, and you couldn't breathe it. If you think that you think every beautiful, beneficial thought that there is, then that's what you think. You don't say, I don't think unbeneficial thoughts, because doing that, you empower the unbeneficial thoughts. Now, what's an unbeneficial thought? Now, tell me an unbeneficial thought. Tell me a bad thing. Tell me something that's naughty in your world. Tell me that it's not successful. Oh, my goodness sakes. The moment we start playing that game, we start empowering those things that we say we don't want. Now, how do we keep ourselves on the straight and narrow? That's what they say it is. It's not the straight and narrow. To say you're untouched, you know, to say you're untouched by everything in the world means that you're touched. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot be untouched unless you're touched, unless you have the capacity to be touched. So if you're untouched, you don't have the capacity to be touched. And of course, if you don't have the capacity to be touched, you don't think about yourself being untouched. Okay? Now, can you be one-pointed? Can you have one direction for your thought and your mind and your being? Now Ellen says, well, I'm distracted when I get up in the morning. I think it's a lovely day because I'm making a judgment. Well, you're not making a judgment. You're just thinking it's a lovely day. Now if you say it's a lovelier day than yesterday, or if you go on the internet and you look up the weather report for somewhere else, you got a problem, you got a problem, you got a problem. Somewhere else in the world concerns you. You got a problem. I wonder what the temperature is in Switzerland. I wonder what the temperature is in Germany. I wonder what the temperature is in Nigeria. You know, you got a problem. I don't care. When I go someplace, I wear few clothes, and it's always the right clothes. In Switzerland, if it's cold and icy out, I'm warm inside of my summer slacks. In Nigeria, if it's hot and nice outside, I'm warm in my summer slacks. You know, it's just be yourself and have fun. It's just a matter of what, wherever you are, just flow with it. Now, am I going to prepare myself to go to Nigeria and take the right clothing along? And they said, yeah, we've had a dry spell here now. It's lasted for the last 2 weeks, and yeah, we probably have a continual dry spell. So I go down there not expecting any rain. And the minute I step off the airplane, the sky opens up and washes everything out beautifully and continues and continues and continues to wash and wash and wash. And by the time I get where I'm going, I am a wet, washed rag. And it's okay because it's a humidity and everybody else is wet, washed too. So I arrive where I'm going. Now, I didn't plan on rain. I didn't bring an umbrella. I didn't bring my rubber shoes along. I didn't bring anything along, you know. And so, what happened? What happened? I just flow with it, and everyone else flows with it. I don't say, gee, I wish I had. I don't even think about it. I see some people walking around with an umbrella, and I say, isn't that a beautiful umbrella? Not that it protects them. They're all wet already. But they're carrying the umbrella because they've got an umbrella and they want to show off the fact that they got an umbrella, which is lovely, you know, and really doesn't bother me at all. And we, in front of their home in Nigeria, where they were practicing jumping rope, one of the fellows brought this jump rope out there, and so everybody got up and practiced jumping rope. And I took the video camera and recorded them. And not one of them thought to ask me, would I like to jump rope? I had no interest in jumping rope, but not one had asked me if I wanted to, because I had no interest in jumping. Do you understand? I had no interest in jumping rope myself. I was charmed by their jumping rope and how beautifully they did it. Sam did it wonderfully, and Seville did it wonderfully, and Michael did it just terrific, you know. And of course,
Lord Johnson.
Yeah, Lord. Oh, he did it well too.
Stan. Stan.
Stan did it well too. I was just thinking of Endless got up and did it very nicely too. And Endless, being perhaps the young man of the group, he showed off. And he was showing how he could make the rope go sideways and around and do all sorts of interesting things with it. And he kept tripping all the time. He didn't have a consistent flow. But hey, he was a very charming show. We all watched and laughed, and we didn't say, you're terrible or you're good. We just said, hey, you're wonderful. What a wonderful show you put on. And you see, so you wake up in the morning and you look outside and you see what the weather's like. And you say, isn't that lovely? I'm going for a walk right away. Now this morning, I got up at 5. I got ready to go out and take my walk. And the temperature was about 51 degrees. And naked as a jaybird, I went out. And I said, well, it's light enough, so I'll take Rex along. And we went for a walk. And we walked the entire path. And I had a pair of gloves on, and I pulled up weeds along the path that were in the middle of the path. And I bent down, picked up, bent down, picked up, bent down, picked up, bent down, picked up, bent down. And I was not at all tired. I was not at all fatigued. Some of the weeds didn't want to give up too well, and so I passed them by and come back another time. But all the weeds that wanted to give up and go, I pulled them. And Rex was there running after each bundle of leaves that I threw to the side of the path. And we just had a wonderful time. And we went on and on. And then I came to another part of the path that I had already cleaned up. But now I could see some of the weeds were standing up that I had knocked down. And I pulled them out and pulled them out. And I just had a wonderful time. Then I looked at the path parallel to Las Montañas Road. And I saw all those rocks there. I said, I want those rocks. I'm going to get the pickup truck over here and put all those rocks in the pickup truck and take them over and put them in my backyard. And then after I've done that, then I'll take the tractor over here and I'll run the tractor back and forth a couple of times across this path to sort of level it and smooth it and make it nice, you know. And hey, big deal. Now, why wasn't it done before? Why wasn't this? Why wasn't that? Why? Who cares? Who cares? You know? We live in the now. We live in the moment. Now, I wonder why, some people say to me, Herb, I want to walk my spiritual path. And I say, beautiful. What do you do to walk your spiritual path? Well, I give up smoking and drinking and sex and all these other things. And I say, well, that sounds like not very much of a fun path to walk, if you're going to be giving up those things. And you walk your spiritual path, what do? And I say, well, on my spiritual path, I sing and I dance and I shout out how wonderful the world is, and I look everywhere and I find everything beautiful and good. I look at the bugs as they crawl along and I say, how wonderful you guys are. And I look around and I say, thank you, Mr. Rattlesnake, for going off on your own path, you know. Thank you for having fun, you know, wherever you want. And they're never where I am. I don't expect them. I don't want them not there, but I want them where they are going to be happy. So, and they're happy. And Rex runs around and just has such a good time, and Rex has to come up to me and bother me. He has to bother me. He wants a hug, you know, as a bother. What a wonderful bother, you know? So he comes up and he snuggles my leg and he says, come on, Dad, give me a hug. So I give him a big hug and I rub his chest and I rub his shoulders and just snuggle him in. And then I stop and I sort of stand up. He stays there. I stand up for him. He stays there. He says, you don't have to stop, you know? And what a good creator I am. What a good creator, you know, loving everybody and everything in my world and having everything just be beautiful. It's so great. Then I have my bare bottom and I sit down on the dewy bench that's a little frosty in the morning, and I think to myself, no, I don't think to myself. I sit down on that bench and I'm cozy warm. I lean back against the iron framing in the back of the bench and I'm cozy warm. Not one thought of being anything but cozy warm. And then after a few moments, I get up and I say, okay, Rex. So he stands up and he looks here and looks there and he says, coast is clear, Dad, let's go. You know, he's my guide and my director and my good helper. And we go marching along and having such a good time. And everywhere I go, you know, I haven't noticed, well, let's put it this way. The path is always smooth and beautiful. Other people complain that there are rocks on the path, but I have never seen them. The path is always smooth and beautiful. I walk along that path barefoot or with my sandals on or with my tennis shoes on or whatever, and it's always wonderful. It's always just great. Now, what does a person who's walking their spiritual path do? They live right now, in the now, the fulfillment of their spiritual life. Right now. There's not a moment to happen later. There's not a moment of things that will come or will happen. We don't anticipate anything, because the moment we anticipate something, we're not living in the now. We're living in the future or the past. So live in the now. Enjoy every single moment as you have it, and know that that's what a spiritual master does. A spiritual master does not think of tomorrow or the next day. A spiritual master does not plan ahead. Gregor Mueller he's got good eyes. And he tells me this story. And he tells me the story again and again and again and again and again. I'm so delighted every time I hear the story. I may sound different right at the moment, but I'm not really that way. I'm delighted. He says his friend Susan, when she wants to go on a picnic, she just says, come on, we're going on a picnic. She throws everything in the basket, the kids and her husband, and off in the car they go. They're all in the basket. And so they say, where are we going? You'll see. And so she doesn't have the slightest idea where she's going. She drives along and she maybe goes to the coast, and she will see an open gate, and she'll drive in there. And driving in the open gate, a man comes up to her and says, may I help you? She says, we're going to have a picnic. And he says, what a wonderful family you have. There's a spot right down there, by the way, on our property, and it's private property, but for you, you go there and go right on down there, and you can park right next to the beach if you like, and you can take your things there and have a wonderful day. And if you need anything special that you forgot, just come up to the house and we'll give it to you. What a woman! She does not plan ahead. She does not think of tomorrow. She does not think of yesterday. She just says, let's go on a picnic. And everybody says, okay, Mom. Every time you say let's go on a picnic, we have a lot of fun. Every time you say anything, we have a lot of fun. Because you live in the now. And this is not just one illustration. Gregor goes on and on and on and on about how wonderful Susan is and all the wonderful things she does. And I say, Gregor, she is your reflection. She is your reflection. And he says, yeah, I know, and it frightens me. But you see, that's the thing. He sees it. He knows it. And I mean, that is a beautiful example of living in the now. He knows it. He sees it. He is it. But he doesn't do it for himself because he says, I wish. And every time we say, I wish something were happening, I wish something would take place, we're living in no time. Not the future, not the past, not the present. We're just listening in la-la land, if you can say that. The land of nothingness. And it's kind of interesting. Now, whatever your dreams may be, I assure you that if you die right now, it won't matter what your dreams are. And if you have great dreams and great potential and you've invested some great amount of money in a project and then you died right now, what would happen to your dream? It wouldn't matter to you, would it? You're off on some other dimension, on some other expression. I was reading an article in the Discovery magazine about this woman who was talking about the world and the Big Bang Theory and the three-dimensional world that we know about. And then she said, she's one of the outstanding woman scientists of our time. She said, she and several other scientists, all big names, she said, we believe that we are in a pocket of understanding the three dimension. And the pocket of understanding three dimension is in a broader scope of the multi-universes and the multi-dimensional beingness of 10 and 11 dimensions. And we have only begun to realize the possibility of those dimensions. And you just watch, they'll pop out. And then the interviewer said to the lady, well, it sounds to me like scientists have a lot of imagination. You know? She said, oh, yes, we do. And that's the fun of it. We let our minds soar into the infinite, and we come up with such beautiful, wonderful things. Well, you know, then she said she doesn't believe in a God, because a God that has religion teaches moralism and these things. She believes in science, because science teaches the law of cause and effect. And that for every cause we put in motion, we have an effect. And if we are going to put causes in motion opposite to our highest good, that's what we'll have. I mean, she didn't say it quite in those terms, but that was what she was referring to. And she said, in fact, she says, I have the best religion in the world, no religion. The religion of believing in myself. But she said also, she said, if you have a belief and you believe in your religion, you have a tough time changing it. She says, if somebody proves me wrong, I don't mind changing my belief. I don't mind changing my belief at all. She says, in fact, I've been proved wrong many times, and I'm very happy to change my belief to a newfound understanding. But like I tell you, Einstein was challenged with his theory of relativity and other theories that he had written. And they wanted to prove him wrong. And he says, I hope you do. Because until you do, I'm right. And really, my work is over. I thought of it, and that's my fulfillment of it, and it did a good job. Now, what about you? Are you doing each step of your life so charmingly, so wonderfully, so completely, so fully, that you don't anticipate desire, wish, you know, want anything that you haven't got right now? Because right now, you've got everything. You know, the magazines like to talk about forthcoming hurricanes and tornadoes and storms, and will the damage be worse this year or next year? Will this happen or will that happen? And they're just making trouble for themselves. We only live in the moment, and we might as well live beautifully, wonderfully and happily in the moment. And that doesn't mean we are disrespectful for our environment. In the moment we see our environment perfect. Is that disrespect for the government or the operations that rule our world in its social and economic manner? No. We respect those things, but we live in the now. We live in the now. It reminds me of Gertrude Sutter in Switzerland, Gertrude would take her bike and go down to the lake and ride around the Greifensee and just have a wonderful time. Then she'd come back home. Well, now, as years went on, she no longer enjoyed pedaling up the hill to her house from the sea. And so she took the bus. And the bus had a place to hook the bike on the bus, and so she rode the bus. Well, she neglected to tell me all this. She just says that she rides down to the Greifensee and enjoys the ride, you know, the bike ride. And then she comes home and she just feels wonderful. Well, Rosalie was over visiting, and Rosalie said, I'd like to ride with you around the sea. And Gertrude said, certainly. And I have another bike there. So they both had a bike. And Rosalie said, now you have a bus pass. And Gertrude says, that's right, I do. A senior citizen bus pass that I can come ride up the hill on the bus with my bike. And Gertrude, Rosalie said, how much does that cost? And she says, a couple of francs, you know. And, no problem, you know. But, you see, as far as I was concerned, I visualized her riding down to the lake and having a great time, riding around the entire lake, having a joyous time, stopping at a coffee shop, having coffee with friends and so on, and then riding back up the hill, and even putting her dog, Luna, in her basket sometimes. You know. And she's got a beautiful little car that she can drive and do this all with much less energy, but she loves to do that. Now, she lives on the third, or is it fourth floor? Third floor of her apartment house. And there are no elevators there. And she walks up and down those flights of stairs 5-6 times a day. And it is really a very good walk. But she is in excellent health. And her dog is in excellent health. And her dog gets her out when she doesn't want to get out herself. She can have her dog do her its duty on the porch, you know, in a box or something. But no, it's time for Luna to go out for a walk. And you see, she's living in the now. She's living in the now, enjoying the now, having fun in the now. And she still likes to langlauf, take her skis and go cross country with skis, you know, just sort of floating from foot to foot across the snowy slopes. She lives in the now. Can we say that of ourselves, that we live in the now? Can we be any more on the spiritual path than she is? And why is she so wonderfully on the spiritual path? She's being herself and having fun. She belongs to a choir, and she sings her heart out. And her family doesn't even come to the choir to hear her. And the choir is a famous choir, and she's a member of it. And they don't even come. And she says, hey, that's okay. That's my life. That's my life. And how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is to live in the now with no judgment, without being possessed by it, with being one-pointed, with being untouched, and being unconditionally loving at all times. Now, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Oh, don't. Are you ready for that? I am doing that. I'm not ready for that because that means, again, it's something in the future. Are you ready for that?
I'm doing it.
The rest of you aren't, huh?
Living
it. Do it.
Good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I'm doing it. Remember that now. That's a good phrase. I am doing it. So, this is a good lunchtime sharing, but remember, it does you no good unless you're wearing it.
Yeah. And I wear it.
Unless you're eating it.
Unless I wear it.
And I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.